With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Hey, this is Dirk Nowitzki, and you're listening to the Mavs Step Back podcast.
Let me step back for a minute, tired of the gimmicks. See, we just focused on winning. Ball in the airline center, we about to get litty. Luka carrying a torch, Borden jumped up on the porch. How you reckon with his force? Third season in the game, and he a legend by his fourth. Look, after Dirk, now the king of Dallas. Airline serving as the palace. Young team, and it's full of talent. Want revenge, we accept the challenge. Luka carrying a legacy. What it take to be an MVP? Being great, know it cost a fee. Know it really ain't that hard to see. Hold on, wait, silence the critics, cause they never did it. Pass Al Jordan, I ain't woke up the city. Map shooting hot like we straight out the chimney. Go back to Batman, I'm calling them Drizzy. More triple doubles, I'm waiting on 50. Step back smoother, you know it's so filthy. If I get down on my team, gonna lift me. Rep the Mavs, step back, overcame the setbacks. Starting where we left at, know we gotta get back. Know we gotta get back. Rep the Mavs, step back, overcame the setbacks. Starting where we left at, know we gotta get back. Like, know we gotta get back. Let me step back for a minute. Let me step back for a minute. Let me step back for a minute. Let me step back for a minute.
All right, guys, welcome into another episode of Mavs Step Back Live. I'm your host, Dalton Trigg. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host and DallasBasketball.com colleague, Matt Glatson. And tonight, the Mavs beat the Miami Heat 127-113. You know, Luka, he had 23 points. I believe it was 12 rebounds, 8 assists. But, y'all, Tim Hardaway Jr., he was incredible in this game. He hit 10 threes, 10 of 18 from three, finished with 36 points, 13 of 24 overall in 33 minutes for the Mavs. He was absolutely on fire. And you love to see him kind of catching his rhythm, getting his rhythm back like this before the postseason starts. So that was great. It was a huge game for both teams because both are trying to – avoid the play-in tournament, and the Mavs by winning. You know, the Portland Trailblazers lost last night to the Hawks, and the Lakers won. So now there's just a two-way tie for the fifth seed, and the Mavs have the tiebreaker over the Lakers, so they reclaim the fifth seed for now in the Western Conference. So very encouraging stuff from the Mavs, especially after that horrible Kings loss, well, three of them in the last 14 days. So if you take that out of the way, you know, the Mavs are, what, 8-0 in their last eight games that they don't play the Kings?
So, yeah, that's about right.
Yeah, so, Matt, just, I mean, what's your initial takeaway from what you watched tonight outside of that horrible start?
Couple things. One, can we just fly Tim Hardaway Jr.'s family to every single game?
Right?
He's got 78 points in his last two starts, and he had family present at both games.
Yeah. I mean, he loves Miami. You know, that's home to him. So, I mean, it seems like that's the case. Every time he has fans, especially Tim Hardaway Sr., if he's in attendance, you can almost bank on it. He's going to show out. So all I can say is they better have Tim Hardaway Sr. at every playoff game, because I don't think he was there in the bubble last year.
I think it was his grandmother that was there tonight, wasn't it? Or was his dad there too?
I didn't see his dad. I think it was just his grandmother. But regardless, get all of THJ's family to the Mavs playoff games this year.
Yeah. My second one is, what on earth are the Heat doing starting Andre Iguodala and Trevor Ariza at the same time?
That's a good question.
Andre Iguodala, the guy that everybody was pining for a couple years ago, who had 0 points on 0-of-2 shooting in 22 minutes and was -9.
If it was about 5 years ago, it'd make more sense. But, you know, they were missing Tyler Hero and a couple other guys tonight too. But, yeah, that worked out well for the Mavs. Well, look, Christian, I'll have you on here in a second. But one thing I wanted to mention, and everybody was talking about it during the game too, but Josh Green, he really showed how he can be valuable to this team going forward. He is
+17.
You know, he didn't score a bunch or anything like that, but his energy is infectious. He's quite possibly the Mavs' second or third best on-ball defender. He's definitely an underrated passer. Like, I've seen enough from him this year, passing-wise, especially to the corner, that, you know, it really excites me for his potential going forward. So it was great to see him, you know, get injected into the game there, and he made a really big difference. And once the Mavs went up big, they never let it go. So it was great to see the rookie get some meaningful minutes and contribute to a very, very big win late in the season. So I was ecstatic about that. Christian, how you doing tonight, man?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
Doing great. It's always it's always a good night when the Mavs get a big win, and they definitely needed that one after that Kings game. Like, I'm thoroughly convinced now that the Kings just have something over the Mavs. Like, they've played so well over this last stretch of games, except for when they play the Kings. I don't know what it is. But they got the big win, and that's all that matters.
Can you imagine how – sorry, Christian, I'll let you talk in 1 second. But can you imagine what things would be like right now if they didn't lose to the freaking Kings? How different things would be right now?
They'd probably have a decent cushion on the fifth seed with 7-8 games left, so – I don't know. It is what it is. I'm just glad we don't have to see Sacramento again the rest of the year.
Yeah. Go ahead, Christian.
Yeah, I mean, I just think when the game started tonight, it kind of reminded me of, I guess, all three Kings games. But just the energy on getting out to the three-point line. I think Ariza hit, what, like 4 threes in 2 minutes? And I was like, oh, my God, here we go again. And, you know, getting on to Josh Green, I mean, really, if he can even be like at least in the interim till his shot really develops, if he can even be like a poor man's Tony Allen that can pass, like, I'd be more than happy with
him. Yeah. Well, he's definitely got, I mean, he's got potential, in my opinion, to be more than that. But I agree, at minimum, you know, if he can just become that, he's shown what he can do defensively. It's just he's a consistent jump shot away from getting, you know, consistent minutes from Carlisle, which, you know, I mentioned this earlier today, guys. I don't understand the logic other than, you know, seniority. I don't understand the logic sometimes how they're so hard-headed about starting Josh Richardson you know, when he has just absolutely horrible offensive games. You know, he was okay tonight. You know, he was 6 of 11 from the field, 3 of 5 from 3, had 17 points. That's fine. But there's some games where he's just awful. And we saw it here recently when it was the Wizards game when he got benched to start the fourth and they put Trey Burke in there instead of Josh Richardson, and they immediately came back from down eight to take the lead, and well, not take the lead, but at the very end, Dorian Finney-Smith hit a clutch three and they ended up winning that game. So, and that was the game-changing moment when they inserted Burke for Josh Richardson. So that's my thing. You know, yeah, Josh Green, he's not good offensively right now, but he plays so hard defensively. He's so good at, you know, the little things and bringing energy, and he's shown he can pass and everything too. Why not give him some more run, even if it's just, you know, 10 to 15 minutes a game, and, you know, shorten Josh Richardson's minutes a little bit. So that's where I'm at. I just don't see how they rationalize keeping Josh in the starting lineup as much as they have, given some of his bad performances. But, you know, the knock on Green, the reason he's not getting just, you know, any rotation minutes is because he can't shoot the ball. It doesn't make sense to me, guys. Please make it make sense.
Maybe it's the thing that that they're just determined to make it work with Josh Richardson, because you know, they traded Seth and they're desperate to prove that they want it to work. I mean, that theoretically it was a good move on paper, but it just hasn't worked out. And
yeah, that's one thing we can't really knock the Mavs for there. I mean, they had the right idea. It's just I don't think anybody anticipated that trading Seth Curry would hurt the offense as much as it did early on, and that Josh Richardson would be shooting a career low from three this year. I don't think anybody saw that happening with Richardson having more space than what he has up to this point in his career. So,
I was just going to say too, like, I completely agree with what you guys said. Like, when the trade happened, I was like, this absolutely makes sense. And then I'm wondering what you guys think, because he was almost like effectively a bench player tonight, and it seems he played rather well. And I just think that that's the move to make, because he did play, you know, when you're going against another team's bench, you're playing guys, you know, not as great. And it just seems that that's the right move to make, given the fact that he seemed to play well with the bench guys. And I think, you know, giving the start to someone else might present some difficulty, given Carlisle's reluctance to, you know, give him minutes. But I think Josh Richardson, that is, and I'm getting those twisted, but Josh Richardson should play on the bench.
I agree with that. I think the more he can play with the bench unit, the better off I think the team will be for it, and if they can limit his minutes going forward. Because in small doses, you know, he's fine. But it's like a lot of the players on this team right now. You can get overextended pretty quick and, you know, end up looking really bad. But I do like the way Josh looks with the second unit. Matt, what do you think about the idea of, you know, even if they don't bench Richardson, just bring him off the bench with the second unit and play him with Jalen Brunson and those guys more than the starters?
Well, who do you slide in the starting lineup, Tim?
Probably. That would be the more – that's what I would probably do at this point, because, honestly, I like it when Jalen Brunson plays with Luka as a starter, but, you know, then you take away from that second unit as far as guys who can create their own shot and, you know, get to the rim and everything. So, and Tim Hardaway Jr. has shown he can be amazing as a starter too. So that's probably the way I would go.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. It's just that also kind of scares me in the sense of losing that offensive firepower off of the bench, because without him on the bench, there's not a lot of scoring. I mean, yeah, they've got JJ. Yeah, they've got Jalen Brunson. But Tim's been pretty special in the six-man role this year, in my opinion. So Losing that extra scoring punch off the bench would be tough. You're just in a weird position because you don't want to have Josh in the starting lineup. You don't want to have, you know, or in my opinion, I don't think you want to have Tim as an every night starter. Every once in a while, I think it's fine. But I just think he's too critical to the second unit scoring to make that a permanent thing. Yeah. I could be wrong. I mean, you know, he did start for a while when he was here and he was, you know, pretty good at it. But I always thought that he got better and more efficient when he got moved to the sixth man role.
Another thing here, and I mean, this might branch off into another discussion all to itself, but tonight, aside from the Kings games, but you know, tonight it went to show you again how much better the Mavs can be defensively. I know they gave up a handful of points there at the end to make it look a little bit more respectable for Miami, but you know, they typically play better without KP defensively if KP is not fully healthy or disengaged. You know, if his head isn't in it and he's not willing to do the dirty work, then it seems like the Mavs really struggle defensively. So you saw a little bit of that tonight. The team was more engaged, especially after that horrible start. And, you know, they got it rolling and got a big win. But next up, Austin, how you doing, man?
Doing good, guys. I appreciate you having me up here.
Yes, sir. What you got for us?
Man, I think we could, you know, Tim had a great night, but I, you know, kind of like you guys said, it seems like we could probably refer to this as the Josh Green game. I'm kind of nervous that we might not win it without that energy that he brought in the second and third quarter there. What do you guys think?
I mean, look, I've been a huge Josh Green fan from the beginning. I really love his potential. I feel like there's times this year where he should have gotten more minutes than what he has so far. And I mean, I really believe when he has a full NBA offseason this summer and he's got summer league and, you know, a full training camp and you have that, you have a lot more time in the offseason to work on your game than you did coming into this season. I think it was just a really hard year for rookies overall. And, you know, the Mavs, like I said before, the Mavs didn't think that they were going to be hampered as much on the offensive end from that Jay Rich trade as they were. So that was some of the reasoning behind taking Josh Richardson. I mean, Josh Green at number 18 in the draft, because they knew he was raw offensively, but they wanted to add defense and they know that his offensive game will eventually come. But the offensive part is going to be a couple years off. And because the Josh Richardson trade didn't go the way they thought it would, and he's shooting a career low from three, that's why it's like people are questioning, oh, why didn't they take Sadiq Bey? You know, a guy who can shoot threes right off the bat. But I mean, come on. I mean, long term, you can still see the potential. And I mean, Josh Green has the second highest defensive rating out of all rookies this year, only second to Emmanuel Quickley in New York, I believe. So, hold on just a second. All right, that was a good question, Austin. We're gonna y'all feel free to hang out and in the room here, and we'll bring you back up to talk. The next guy up here is our guy DeAndre. How you doing, man?
Hey, what's up there, Don? How you, man? Matt?
Doing good.
Hey, so let me see if I get this straight. So Tim Hardaway drops 42 on the Pistons last week, right? Did not play against the Wizards. Did not play against the Kings. Comes back in the Heat game and literally is 1 3-point away from the franchise record. Man, whenever I see these things, and I still have a bit of taste in my mouth about the Kings loss. We should have had THJ in that game, but I mean, that's the past is in the past, and I mean, we can look at tonight. it seems that whenever Timmy is in this game and his and any of his family is in it, he's going to drop huge games. He's going to drop huge games. And that's just, yeah. I mean, I like you said earlier, I just like to call a petition to have all of his family relatives in either the AAC or whatever they're playing at a away game. I mean, good Lord. But anywho, I have a strong opinion. THJ, sixth man of the year. Do you and Matt see that as a potential, as a possibility? He gets some votes for sixth man of the year.
I could see him getting some votes, but as far as you know, having any chance of winning it, I think Jordan Clarkson has been so good with Utah that I don't think he'll have a legit chance to win it. I do see if the Mavs can hold on to the fifth seed, and you know, if he finishes out the season like he has these last two games he's played in, I think he could actually get him a couple of votes there. So. I do say, what do you think, Matt?
Yeah, I'm kind of the same. I think he'll get a couple of votes, but I don't think he's really got a legit chance at that. I agree. Jordan Clarkson's probably your best bet there, which is the same because Tim has been fantastic. But
and look, people are talking in the chat right now saying that Ingles should win. He's actually better than Clarkson, which I agree with, but. I think the narrative of Clarkson and how well he started out the season, I think that'll, you know, carry over and he'll eventually end up winning it. But anyway, that's just my opinion. But good question, Dion.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Hendrick, we appreciate you coming on. Long time listener, long time supporter of us. You're one of our day ones, man. We appreciate it.
Hey, no problem, man. No problem. And hopefully Matt can get his dang Twitter. It'll be great to see.
Yeah, we don't have much hope left for that. I mean, they Blue Wire claims that they've talked with Twitter about getting it done, but I'm sure they have like a million other things going on. Who knows? Maybe sometime this summer, Matt will get his Twitter.
Maybe sometime before I turn.
Yeah. All right, but we appreciate it, Dion.
The economy is made up of real people doing real stuff, and it affects everything. Which you obviously know since you're a real person doing real stuff. Marketplace is here to help you get smart about everything beyond the what of the day's business and economic news. We dig into the how and the why with the real people driving our economy. From big tech and interest rates to small businesses and what's happening at the Fed, Marketplace breaks it all down so you don't have to. Listen to Marketplace wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, it's Mike. As you know, I adopted my pup Rocky from a local rescue. Now, when people asked me what kind of dog Rocky was, I was always stumped. I used an Embark dog DNA test to decode my most puzzling questions about Rocky. You can also learn about your dog's inner secrets with Embark, the highest rated dog DNA test. Unlock over 350 breeds and screen for over 200 genetic health risks. Save $50 on a breed and health kit with promo code KIT at EmbarkVet.com. Again, that's promo code KIT.
Next up, we have Matt Phillips. How you doing, man? Matt, you there?
I'm good. How are y'all? Yeah, I'm good. How are y'all? It took me a second to give me.
Doing good. How about yourself? What'd you think about that win tonight?
I was very happy. So on the Josh Green stuff, I think the best comparison for him, the ceiling, is Golden State Andre Iguodala. Not a great shooter, but a great defender, very physical, that can switch up if he needs to, and is a great passer. Because Green is going to develop into a really, really good passer. Like, he had several, like the one where Luka threw him a lob that he had to jump out of bounds to catch and then kicked it out to JJ, which JJ missed the three. But that's a really high-level pass. And then he had several other plays, one where he kicked it out to Tim Hardaway Jr. where he made a three. Just, I think that's the ceiling for him.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. And, I mean, look, what's your take on, you know, how the Mavs viewed drafting him? I mean, are you okay with them taking him at 18th and, you know, playing the long game as far as his development? Or would you have rather them gone for a more offensive type guy?
I have been on record in Kirk's podcast with this. I'm happy with them taking him. I just wish that the front office and Carlisle were more on the same page, where if they were going to take the project, Carlisle would have agreed to play him 10 to 14 minutes a game no matter what. Like, I remember, this is a completely different player type, but I remember when Tony Parker was a rookie, I remember Greg Popovich playing him through all of his struggles on a team that I believe won a title. Sometimes you have to play young players even when they do stupid stuff, and that will always be rough for Carlisle. So I just wish they had chosen to do that. And on the Sadiq Bey front, he can shoot and do absolutely nothing else at an NBA level. He is a terrible defender.
Yeah. Sadiq Bey. Go ahead.
About 36 of those 42 that Tim Hardaway scored against Detroit were on Sadiq Bey. Like, when people talk about him, like, they're just not the same type of player. Sadiq Bey is a Davis Bertans starter kit. He's not a 3-and-D wing.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I've seen a lot of clamoring on Mavs Twitter for Sadiq Bey throughout this season. And, you know, I don't watch a ton of Pistons games. I mean, that's obvious. I watch them when they play the Mavs. And then sometimes, if they're part of a good game, I have a J-League pass and I'll turn it in and, you know, watch him a little bit there. But from what I've seen this year, like you said, he can get hot sometimes. He can hit some threes, but he just doesn't have the tools defensively that Green does. I think that's what's going to create a really, at worst, a really strong rotation player and possibly a starter going forward, you know, if he can continue to develop his offense. But he has a great base with his defense. And it's just stuff you can't teach. You can't teach people to, you know, bring energy every time they're in and dive on the floor and stuff like that. So I'm really encouraged by what he showed tonight and what he's shown, you know, in flashes throughout this season. I think if there was ever a season where he should have played more, you know, as a rookie, it probably should have been this year, especially after they had all the COVID stuff early on this year. With Josh Richardson, like I said before, he's unfortunately shooting a career low from three. I think it's like 32%, which would be almost 3 points. I think it's like 2.5 points lower than his next lowest. So it's unfortunate, but I really like the potential in Green, and I hope that Mavs Twitter can be more, you know, patient with his growth going forward, because like you say, it's not Green, it's how the front office presented Green. It's like they were saying that Green and Tyrell Terry were going to be, you know, day one guys.
By the way, does anyone know if Tyrell Terry is still alive?
Yes, yeah, he is okay. I posted this on Twitter earlier today, but I talked to Tyrell last week. And he is fine. He's doing okay. It's very unlikely that he's, you know, going to rejoin the team for this season, but he is doing fine. I mean, personal reasons are personal reasons, so we didn't get into all that. But he did tell me he's doing okay, and, you know, so people don't have to have to worry about that. Hopefully he has a full, you know, NBA offseason and gets to, you know, clear his head and everything and have a more normal year next year. But, yeah, he is doing okay.
Yeah, there, there's more important stuff than sports. So as long as he's, you know, whatever, we don't necessarily need to know about that. I'm just glad to hear that he's okay.
Man, it's been such a rough year for everybody. You can't blame it. Yeah, you can't blame guys for you know, just kind of getting overwhelmed and everything. I think once he gets a chance to take a step back and, you know, recharge this off season and play in summer league and all that, I think he'll have a much more productive sophomore year with the Mavs. Because, I mean, he was projected as being the steal of this draft by, I think it was Kevin O'Connor. And so he had a lot of expectations going into this year, and it just, you know, it just didn't pan out, and it's been a tough year for everybody. But Matt, we appreciate it, man. Good stuff.
Can I add one more thing on Josh Green before I go?
Yeah, go ahead.
While he's not a shooter in the 3 and D wing, one thing that we should have known from some other people is that playmaking can take the place of shooting and floor spacing. And you can see this, there's no better example than Draymond Green, which he is not obviously as good of a playmaker as Green. But if you can pass at an elite level, which for what kind of a player he is, I think he can and will continue to develop, that can take the place of shooting as far as spacing the floor.
Right. Yeah, you're absolutely right there, especially if it's consistent, you know, on a night-to-night basis. I absolutely agree. I'm very high on Josh Green still. I mean, I was high on him when they drafted him. I thought that was the best fit, you know, as far as what they needed defensively plus what he could turn into offensively going forward. And I still see that being a really good pick for them in the immediate future. Jared, how you doing, man?
Yeah, good. Just an Australian guy enjoying the game from Green today. It was good to see him get some consistent minutes to just show that he's valid, maybe not rotation player yet, but a valid option to give the guys a rest over the next 2 weeks and just to prove it next year. Assume he can take a step up in the offseason, that he can be a rotation player.
And the thing that excites me about what Green showed tonight is it may not be on a night-to-night basis at this point, but he showed you that in a big game, he can give you moments. You know, it's like during the Mavs championship run in 2011 – you know, there's only one game you can think of where Corey Brewer just had an incredible game during that run, but it was a really big game against the Lakers, and it contributed to them eventually sweeping them. You know, that's stuff that I think about. So at least he's shown. Go ahead.
Be like Trey Burke in the bubble in the first round, where he just kind of came out of nowhere and earned himself a contract, basically. But yeah, helped the team, gave them minutes that other guys weren't given, and gave them options.
Right.
That's what they need.
Yeah, and I mean, look, Trey Burke, he's been great lately, and I feel like he might end up being one of those secret weapons for the Mavs in the playoffs, too. He only played 7 minutes tonight, but he was 2 of 4 for 5 points, and, you know, he really surprised me last year. I don't know if we've ever – I don't know how many times Burke has made the playoffs in his career, but, you know, that was a really encouraging bubble and playoffs for him last year against the Clippers. I was – I couldn't believe what I was watching. So I think if they get in a pinch with whoever they play in the postseason and – see, this is why I want – I'm kind of going off track here, but this is why I want the Mavs to hold on to the fifth seed and end up playing the Nuggets in the first round. Because I've said it before, it would be a nightmare front court matchup, you know, with Jokic on the Nuggets. But, you know, they would just dominate the guard play with Jamal Murray out. You got Luka, you got Jalen Brunson. We've already seen what Trey Burke can do. I mean – that's the matchup I'm actively rooting for right now, and I think it has a really good chance of happening. But, Matt, you want to contribute to this one?
Yeah, I mean, I just, you know,
my thing on all the on Green and him injecting this energy and all this stuff, I think it's great, and I think they tend to forget that. I mean, what is he, 19, 20 years old? He didn't have the full off. I mean, you know, we've talked about this a lot, and people would, it's partially the Mavs' fault, obviously, because they propped him and Tyrell up as like these two guys that were going to come in and contribute immediately when we should have known with Rick as the head coach that wasn't going to happen. Yeah. But it's going to take him some time to develop. When you draft a player, most of the time, unless they're, you know, a top lottery pick, most of the time it's going to take them a little, you know, it's going to take them a couple of seasons to grow into themselves and to get used to the NBA game and to learn how to play basketball. And I think the longer the season has gone on, Josh has kind of figured out a few of these things, and you're seeing what the product of that is. And, you know, it's going to take some more time, but, you know, when everybody was pissed when he got, all these people were pissed when he got drafted, and all these people were pissed when Desmond Bane started making, you know, started hitting 40% from three right off the bat. That's fine. That's, you know, and Memphis is in the 8th seed and the Mavs are in the 5th seed. Would Desmond Bane have made that big of a difference? Maybe, maybe not. We don't know. Rick might not have played him. I don't know. But if you just give these things some time to breathe, then you can see the results like you saw tonight. Rick gave Josh a chance, and he made the most of that chance, and hopefully he'll keep giving him these chances. And if he does, you know, maybe he can make a big difference.
Yeah, and look, I mean, if there's one guy, and Jared, I'll let you continue after this one, but if there's one guy that I look at, like, yeah, I really, you know, could see them taking that guy over Josh Green and it turning out better, I think Desmond Bane is probably one of those guys. But I'm going to put a asterisk on that because I feel like it would be better, like, immediately, like for this season, if Rick Carlisle would play him. But for the future, you know, given that Desmond Bane is nearly 3 years older than Josh Green, I still think Green has the much higher ceiling. And I think he'll reach it, you know, playing with Luka and having a regular off season instead of, you know, going through all this COVID crap we've gone through the last 12 to 14 months. But yeah, Jared, what'd you have there?
Sorry, one other thing real quick. I think that a lot of people don't understand how important summer league is to a rookie's development, because that's when they first get into the pro mode. That's when they first start learning about the system, and they have time to develop and learn everything. And to just have none of that stuff, I think, was a big detriment to all the rookies, not just Josh, to all the rookies.
Yeah, and it's not just like on the floor either, because like our guy Kirk mentioned earlier today, you know, the thing about summer league is you can put up big numbers and it might not matter, but if you're bad in summer league, it pretty much means, you know, the player is bad. So it can tell you a lot about guys. But just getting along with the coaches, you know, the assistant coaching staff and stuff like that, bonding experience while in Las Vegas and everything. So I agree. I think that'll be big. And look, we might be there. We might be there this year. So y'all stay tuned for that. But Jared, you had something else you wanted to add?
Yeah, just one more thing. Something to bear in mind with Josh is maybe that I don't know if he's ever been the star player on a team. So I don't know. I know he obviously grew up in Australia, and he moved. I think he did the last maybe 2 years of high school in America. And then I don't think he wasn't really a star player on his college team. So he's probably not going to come in and just have the skills and the confidence, I guess, to start trying to dominate a game.
Let's be honest, he didn't have the best coaching in college either. So
college coaching is terrible.
Yes. So I think that's going to help him a lot going forward too. He's going to learn from – that's the thing about Rick Carlisle. He's a great teacher. He just – he demands so much from young guys, and sometimes it's just, you know, it's just too much to handle. Like I talked to Dennis Smith Jr. about his second year with the Mavs before – the trade. Like I just talked to him recently, and he said that Rick Carlisle actually, like after the fact, when he came back the first time to Dallas with the Knicks, and basically apologized to him for being so hard on him. Because he was extra hard on Dennis, and Dennis was trying to, you know, adjust to a role that he had never played at any level in his career, high school, college. He had never played as much off ball as what they were wanting him to play with Luka, and he was trying to adjust to it, and he made strides defensively, and it just, you know, everything just kind of, you know, blew up from there. But you know, if you can stick with Rick Carlisle, if you can handle his toughness on rookies, you know, they have a chance to learn a bunch from him and improve going forward. So, Jared, we appreciate it, man. I'm going to bring on Xavier now. Xavier, what's up, man?
What's going on, Dalton? So, Matt, don't hate me. I'm going to poo-poo on Josh Green a little bit, but not too much. here's my thing. I agree with what a lot of you guys said, but I disagreed as well. So I feel like, yes, I was encouraged by Josh Green's performance today, but I just don't feel like this is not the right roster for him to get significant burn, especially come playoff time, right? I think that in a season where folks are tired, teams are injured, yes, sometimes energy being your best skill can be the difference maker in a game where everyone's legs are exhausted. So on nights like tonight, absolutely he can be a difference maker. But come playoff time, I just think that his lack of shooting is just going to make life hard for everyone else. And so now, next year, if we're able to get a secondary playmaker and maybe upgrade our shooting, then okay, maybe you can afford for Josh Green to be your worst shooter out on the court. But this year, our shooting hasn't been consistent enough to where it would make sense to give him consistent minutes, right? You can't have Green and Woody Cauley-Stein or Green and another non-shooter on the floor, because at that point, Luka's playing 3-on-5. And so that would just muddy things entirely too much. So I understand why Rick has been hesitant to give him consistent burn, just because of how the overall team has played. I think that's more of a reflection of the team that he has, more so than his belief in Josh Green. Now, but I think that there is something to at least lash on to moving forward, to where maybe he's not a complete sunken cost and maybe he can be an asset for us in the coming years. I just don't think this is going to be the year where he really gets the opportunity, and I don't think it should be.
I totally agree with that. Let me jump in real quick, Dalton. I totally agree with you, Xavier. I don't think anybody really expects him to be a big playoff contributor. I would like to get him some more run down the line in the regular season just to give some of these guys a little bit of a break. But typically, and you know, we all know this by now watching the NBA. I mean, when you get to the playoffs, rotations are tightened up. They'll play 7 or 8 players, and some of these guys will get cut out most likely. And there's not going to be room for Josh Green. That's the games are too important. There's not going to be any room for him in there. So no, I totally agree. I just want a little bit more potentially in the regular season so that, you know, maybe Tim can get a little less run on his legs, or some, just anybody else really. And I think that just in itself provides value.
I agree. I would like to, but look, I remember Mavs Twitter back when we got rampaged by COVID and Josh Green was getting burned. And man, I remember all the angry tweets. So we got to see Josh Green get some minutes, but like I said, it's just not this year. I think that for this year, players like it's more important to get JJ ramped up once he's healthy and recovered from the heel. But I'm excited for him moving forward, and that's something that I wasn't willing to say when the season started. So at least he's starting to change.
Yeah, good stuff, Xavier. And look, just to clarify from earlier, I'm not expecting him to play in the playoffs. I just think, like, if they got in a situation, like, and hopefully this doesn't happen, but you know, if they get in a situation like they're down 0-2 and Josh Richardson and a couple other guys just can't get it going, and they're just, you know, they're having a horrible time offensively as it is, and they need a spark, you know, I could see him maybe, you know, getting some spot minutes, see if he could provide that same kind of spark that we saw tonight against Miami. I'm not thinking it's going to happen, but I could see a situation You know, there are situations where I could see Rick rolling the dice a little bit and maybe giving him an opportunity. So good stuff as always, Xavier. And Matt, we're going to go ahead and wrap this thing up. I see our room started dissipating a little bit, which likely means that Kirk has started his room.
Thanks.
So we appreciate it, guys. Well, hold on. Ben, we're going to let you in here and get a question in. Ben, what's up, man?
Hey, bro. I actually didn't have a question, but I just wanted to thank the Mavs for winning this game as a Celtics fan. So thank you, guys. I can't stand the Heat. Plus, they're close to us. And I love Luka. So, I mean, let's freaking go. Good job.
Yeah. No problem, Ben. No problem.
I'm glad appreciate it a lot.
Y'all go avoid the play-in.
Yes, sir. Exactly. Thank you.
All right, Matt, you have anything else before we take off here?
No, I think I'm good.
Well, guys, we appreciate y'all for joining another episode of Mavs Step Back Live. It always nice to come on here, especially after a big win like what they had tonight. They're 9 games over 500 now. They retook the fifth seed for the time being. And the Lakers' next game is against the Clippers on Thursday. So, and LeBron's going to be out for that one. So the Mavs have a chance to increase their lead, given what the Lakers and Blazers schedules look like, you know, from here on out. So it's looking good for the Mavs. They still got to take care of business, but so far, aside from the Kings games, they've been just rolling people. So this will be an interesting end of the season stretch, and hopefully they'll end up in that 4-5 matchup with the Nuggets and, you know, end up sweeping them or something like that. But we'll get into that prediction, or, you know, if it happens. But I really do think they would end up beating the Nuggets if they end up playing them in the first round. But guys, we appreciate it. Be sure to go like, rate, and subscribe on all your favorite platforms. Go join our buddy Kirk's room after you get off on this one. He's always got some great stuff going on over there. But we appreciate it, y'all. Y'all have a great rest of the night.
Let me step back for a minute. Let me step back for a minute. Let me step back for a minute. Let me step back for a minute.
Hey guys, it's Mike. As you know, I adopted my pup Rocky from a local rescue. Now, when people asked me what kind of dog Rocky was, I was always stumped. I used an Embark dog DNA test to decode my most puzzling questions about Rocky. You can also learn about your dog's inner secrets with Embark, the highest rated dog DNA test. Unlock over 350 breeds and screen for over 200 genetic health risks. Save $50 on a breed and health kit with promo code KIT at EmbarkVet.com. Again, that's promo code KIT.